Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Free Talk Live. It is the Saturday night edition, and if you want to be a part of the show, you can call 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass, joining me.
Peakless Mountaineer and
Kahuna. Before we go on, I want to say thank you to Barbara Durant. Barbara is a silver level amplifier, which means she gives $5 per month to help get this very radio program onto more radio stations. We're on somewhere around a couple hundred right now. We could be on 250. We could be on 300. 350 radio stations, not out of the question. It's all up to you. Do you value the message of freedom, peace, liberty, and prosperity? Do you enjoy the hosts, the co-hosts, the topics that we bring up? Then please consider becoming an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. We only ask for $5 a month. That's the silver level. There's other levels. There's gold and platinum and a couple other ones. I can't think of. So if you want to contribute more, you're welcome to. It is a Patreon type of a setup. So when you do contribute, you get some benefits, some perks, if you will, for doing so. But that's not why you should amp. You should amp because you want to get the message of freedom spread as far and wide as possible and help get this show on a more radio station. So thank you again, Barbara Durant, for your contributions. We appreciate you. All right. We're going to... That's a segue whiplash.
It's a new hour. It's a new topic. It's a new time.
This from, I don't remember where this came from. Is this you, Kahuna? The Orwellian?
Yes.
Federal officials roll out airport facial recognition technology with the promise of... A drum roll, please. Strengthening privacy.
Wow.
Yes.
You know, it is exactly what they promised, Orwellian, because that is some double-thinking double-think.
Double-speak.
Double-speak.
Are malls and stadiums next? The very small, tiny, micro-headline reads underneath it.
To strengthen your privacy, we're just going to make sure that the computer can identify you and track your movements.
Do it for your convenience and privacy.
See, now, convenience, I believe.
Privacy,
you can
no.
totally make the world way more convenient for me by spying the crap out of me. Definitely, but for my privacy? What is their argument?
Not even the first entire sentence. The first phrase. In what some might consider Orwellian doublespeak.
Some.
Yo!
In what actually is Orwellian doublespeak, I'm just making editorial corrections as we go. Federal officials are rolling out facial recognition technology at airports with a claim that they are, quote, strengthening privacy, unquote. Jesus, man. Like...
You can't make this stuff up.
You just, reality is so twisted that, like, even the best, like, fiction writers and those, the Imagineers of our time, like, they can't make it up.
Well, you see, in order to fight communism, we just have to centrally control and plan the means of production and distribution so that each power comes from those able to those who need it. Because that's how you defeat communism. And the way we defeat fascism is making sure that there's no separation between corporation and state, and maybe being a little racist later.
But it's for your protection.
Well, how are we supposed to defeat fascism and communism?
Unless we're well protected.
Exactly. So to protect your privacy, we're just going to make sure that the computer can scan your face and know where you are all the time.
Now, based on this next sentence, I feel like they are definitely targeting, let's just say, the average human being, or perhaps less than average, mm-hmm. when it comes to writing or at least knowledge. The Transportation Security Administration, TSA, an agency of the Federal Department of Homeland Security, DHS. Like, really, do you need to spell that out to me? Like I didn't know what the TSA was.
The sad thing is, I think, yes, like you said, for a certain segment of the population, you do need to spell it out.
Honestly, I didn't know what TSA stood for.
Oh, you didn't?
Like, it is really? So it is so frequently just TSA.
Okay.
I had completely forgotten what it stood for.
Okay, fair enough.
Touching, because no one uses the actual words. Right. That's how they get us.
Right. Touching some ass, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tyrannical sexual assault?
Yeah, there you go.
TSA? Transportation Security Administration.
Ah, thank you.
Is what it stands for, which is a sub-agency of the DHS.
Department of Homeland Security.
Homeland. The Homeland.
I don't have a funny
acronym. They must protect the homeland.
Yes.
For your safety.
We must weave together all of the intelligence agencies into one place to protect the homeland.
This apparent combination of dual, triple acronyms posted a, quote, facial recognition technology fact sheet. Using that term, as it announced the expansion of its new screening technology from nearly 30 airports to more than 400.
I don't even know how many airports there are. So, I mean, even one is bad.
400 sounds about right.
I mean, how many are there just in the United States? Are there 1,000? I don't know.
And then there's municipal airports kind of thing. So, not all of them are, international airports or hubs or whatever.
Presumably, they're starting with the big cities, I'm guessing.
I assume so as well. Yeah. They start with the NFL cities and then expand from there.
Yeah.
So, quick question. How long ago was it that talking about this would have gotten you labeled nuts?
Oh, 5-10 minutes ago?
I mean, seriously. Like, could we once not skip directly from the "that's an insane thing to think will ever happen" to the "of course that's what's happening and it's good"?
I'm
could
pretty
we
sure.
Stop between those 2 points just
well,
once.
Well, I mean, 1984 was written when? In the 30s 48. Or 40s?
Well, it was published in 1948, and the reason he called it 84 is because he just inverted the
okay,
numbers.
So that's.
So probably written in,
that's 75 years ago-ish, 75 years. So clearly back then, I'm assuming, wasn't around back then, but people were reading this and just shocked, like, oh my God, can you imagine living in a world like that? That's insane.
And here we are. Fast forward to
2024. That's the way it is.
Well, and I think it's because he didn't include a solution. Like, thanks for the warning, but that's not how humans work.
Yeah.
Like, if you feed humans a narrative, and they start really caring about that narrative, they weave themselves into it. That's just how people are built.
Yeah.
So there he is, giving us this narrative that is very compelling, very interesting, and totally dystopian. And what happened? We used it as a friggin' manual.
It's a playbook, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Orwell's rolling over in his grave going, I told you!
Yeah.
I told you!
Well, you should have told us how to get out of it. How to get around this. You should have given us a little Smith dude that was, here's how I subverted their
network.
I
don't know that he had that answer. Right? When he's right, so first of all, there's two schools of thought with people like Orwell. One is, that he had a great imagination and was able to sort of use logic to go, okay, well, at some point in the future, here's what I sort of foresee is going to happen.
No, that's not it.
The other school of thought that I heard was that, you know, he's clairvoyant. He's able to travel in time in some way, shape, or form.
No, that's not it. Whether
through his dreams or through a visionary process, and actually see what life was going to be like in
Orwell
the future.
Orwell is really simple, actually. He was in the club. He, like Aldous Huxley, these are guys that were in the World Controller Socialist Club.
Mm-hmm.
He was like one of those, like, he was an anarcho-communist, basically.
Okay.
Like, one of those, like,
Wow.
He was one of those idealistic communists that saw, you know, the working people being taken advantage of.
Yep.
And so he was like, no, we need to get rid of this class structure. The political and economic classes are things that we need to get rid of. So there he was. He got invited to all the clubs, and he's talking to all of these socialists who are authoritarian socialists. So they're talking about, okay, yeah, we think we can implement this, and then we'll implement this, and then we'll implement this, and by the time we get to here, they won't even know how we got there.
Well, right. what about Huxley then, Aldous Huxley? Because
Same story. He was in the, like, now Huxley, he was actually part of one of those ancient eugenicist families where, like, them being part of this technocracy goes back for generations and generations,
yeah.
And, like, look at what his brother was doing, working very much in the opposite direction, and so he's just kind of in this world, and he's like, I can't publicly talk about this, can I? How am I going to let people know that there are these people who are planning to make this reality?
Like, I bring up the clairvoyant / time travel thing for the same reasons I do when talking about Nikola Tesla, right? Because I'm thinking about if I were Nikola Tesla and I was able to somehow see, you know, 2024, like I was, you know, visually transported. I'm standing on the street of, like, New York City, and there's all these people wandering around with these magic rectangles in their hand, and it's doing all these amazing things, right? You know, we would think it's magic coming from back then, right? And so you would describe it in this very sort of overtly magical way, which is what we get from Tesla, we get it from Huxley, we get it from Orwell, and a number of other people, too, right? People who like to predict things, science fiction writers, Gene Roddenberry, for frick's sakes. You know what I mean? Like, all these guys, like, sort of have these visions of what the future might be. Many of them have come true, not necessarily because they traveled in time, right? That's just, you know, something that I think about from time to time. How else would they describe this stuff the way they did unless they traveled through time and were unable to accurately describe it and thus, you know, gave the works that they did?
Well, Tesla in particular was less so of that. So his big thing was that he was able to just look at nature and then apply it to science.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at the time, like, electricity was kind of like a newly accessible technology. Like, we had just figured out how to start wiring up houses at
right,
that point.
Yeah, yeah.
And
DC, not AC.
Right,
yeah.
So he's studying all of this stuff, but he has a keen eye for nature, and what he sees in nature everywhere is that it cycles. Things go up and then they go down, then they go up and then they go down, and then he's looking at electricity and it's like, well, you're just shoving. It's like, no, there's got to be an easy way to move this,
a give and take,
right, into a system where it is up and then down. And it turns out by doing that, you're basically just taking a step out of the process.
Yeah.
Like, turns out, like, yeah, nature was giving you, we give it a negative and then we get a positive. And then you had to, like, reverse that to all positive. And he just took that out of it. And it turns out if you take that out of it,
it's way more efficient.
Right. Then you can carry that electrical energy over a way further distance.
Yeah.
But you had to kind of turn it back into direct current to operate all the devices that we'd figured out.
For those of our listeners who are familiar with my penchant, my ability to invent what's known as the portmanteau, if you take George Orwell and Aldous Huxley, they become Huxwell. They're just one person now. They're just called Huxwell.
Georges. Georges Huxwell.
Aldorge.
Aldorge.
Huxwell, I think, is Huxwell, anyway. Yeah. So all that to say, let's come back to the TSA now and what they're doing.
Must we?
Well, no, but
no, I do want to hear.
They won't stop.
Is the argument in this article of how this increases our privacy? Because I gotta hear this.
TSA strut. This is from their fact sheet. TSA strives to enhance security effectiveness and improve operational efficiency while creating an enhanced travel experience and strengthening privacy.
Enhanced travel experience.
The agency is using second-generation credential authentication technology scanners. As travelers entering the screening process, the Cat 2 units are currently deployed at nearly 30 airports nationwide, and we will expand to the more than 400 federalized airports over the coming years.
Don't think of it as a flagrant violation of your rights and decency.
Well,
just think of it as an enhanced experience.
I mean, the author pointed out at the top of this article, doublespeak, which actually doesn't occur, believe it, and I think they mentioned that in the article. Like, doublespeak isn't a term that happens in Orwell's writing, because it's just doublethink, right, applied to speech, right? So that's where doublespeak comes from. You get the idea, right? Most people do. The fact sheet repeatedly referred to privacy in a positive light while using additional terms like enhancement, convenience, and respect. Here's another excerpt. TSA introduced facial recognition technology into the screening process at select airports. The facial recognition technology represents a significant security enhancement and improves traveler convenience. All digital IDs eligible for use at select TSA checkpoints follow the current international open standards developed by the International Organization for Standardization and provide enhanced security and privacy by design.
Whoa. So there is no argument then. They're just adding this to the... Because, like, I see what they're doing here. So, enhanced security, definitely.
Yes.
Like, yeah, there's like, this is harder to get through.
Hold
for
that
sure.
thought. Let me read the last sentence.
Enhanced.
hold it. TSA policy requires that TSA workers, show each traveler respect and ensure their privacy is protected. Okay, go. That was the last line of that excerpt. Like, they're not actually ensuring any privacy. They just want the TSA employees to ensure the travelers that their privacy is being protected.
Right.
Don't worry, Peakless.
Well, no, so you're
as
talking
a TSO,
about... sure.
You're this... Well, okay,
so
perhaps.
So to ensure means you actually make the thing happen. So if I ensure your privacy, I would do things like not scan your friggin' face.
Yeah, right.
Now, if I were to ensure your privacy, then I would tell you, don't worry. This is for your privacy. Oh, it's like, okay, security, sure. I mean, not actually, because all of the tests that TSA has ever taken, they fail, like 85% of them.
That is true.
Enhanced convenience, totally. Abso-friggin-lutely. I mean, they will get to the point where they have tracked you so thoroughly that you don't need to do a bunch of things you used to need to do. And privacy.
I actually experienced this recently.
The facial recognition?
Yes.
But did you feel like your privacy was enhanced?
Absolutely.
Or respected?
Yeah. It was not at an airport. I went on a cruise a couple months ago with my family.
Oh, fancy schmancy.
Yeah. And I don't know, if you've ever been on a cruise, when you come back into port, there's a building.
Was it like the rock and roll cruise where all the rock bands gone?
That particular one was not the Rock and Roll Cruise. Okay, I'm thinking about going on one of those, actually.
Yeah.
But so you come into the building, and before you go to the place where you pick up your luggage, there's the customs agents, right?
Okay.
So I hadn't been on a cruise since, I don't know, 2018 or 19. So since that time, so I take out my passport, cause that's one of the things, you know.
Yep.
Basically, what you used to do is you would show that. They'd ask you a few stupid questions.
Right.
And it said, you know, go on your way. This time, as we're approaching that area, there's workers saying, we have a new policy. You don't have to take your passport out. We have facial recognition.
Oh, my gosh.
So, but she's like, it's optional. But the thing was, as I'm walking toward, and I can see where the agents are, you kind of have, you're kind of like forced to walk by, like, the scanner things.
Okay.
So I'm...
You're in the general vicinity.
Yeah, so I'm walking towards, because I don't want to do the facial recognition.
Yeah.
I don't really want to do the agent, but so I'm walking towards that, and as I'm walking towards the agent, all of a sudden on the screen, it must have scanned me, you know, wherever the readers are.
Yeah.
And nice green, nice big green circle, check mark, like, identity verified, please proceed.
Wow. Just out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere, totally. Yeah. And I didn't know that, you know, until like 10 seconds before I got to that area, that's when you hear these workers saying, you don't have to take your passport out. There's new facial recognition technology. So I experienced that like a couple months ago.
I wonder if they have something equivalent to that called middle finger recognition technology.
Oh, I'm sure they do, actually. It'll scan your fingerprint and mark you as a dissident.
Right.
Well, yeah. You see, the problem was your privacy was like tangible and practical, so they enhanced it into a purely theoretical abstract privacy. It's enhanced privacy.
Oh, my gosh.
You have spiritual privacy now. Do we not use that word yet? Digital privacy. Yeah, that one.
I mean, not surprisingly, like, so I was so shocked, and then I was with my mother. I said, I don't think I like that, Mom, you know, and she's like, yeah, I don't like it either. I mean, she knows what I believe and everything, and I said, I think that's a really bad thing. I mean, it's so awful.
How can anybody go, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Want the terrorists to win?
I don't imagine anyone like having this, this magical experience, right, for lack of a better term to describe it, I feel like it violates consent if they do it before you can consent.
Yeah.
Right? Like, no, you don't have permission to scan my face.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, most of the world is covered in cameras these days.
Correct.
Right? If you're in anything that resembles, not even like an actual urban environment, but if you're in a place that resembles, like some of these small towns and cities, like they think they're bigger than they actually are. So they have all the big city tech, like cameras everywhere, yeah. Right? The stoplight cams and red light, you know, all that kind of crap. Right? So, and then everybody's got these, everybody's subscribing to this stupid Ring thing from Amazon, and like cops can just hijack your feed whenever they want to.
Mm-hmm.
They can use your camera for any purpose. They can use it to track you down. They can use it to find out what your patterns are. When do you come and go every day?
Right.
If it's attached to your Android or i device, then it will, unless you tell it otherwise, it will use it to remind you, hey, by the way, you parked your car a block and a half around the corner instead of your usual spot.
Yeah.
Today your commute will take you 25 minutes instead of 38. No, it's creepy.
Well, Captain, you just want the terrorists to win, and this is how you get 9/11s, by just willy-nilly not scanning everyone's irises when they come into the country.
What I want is to be a free man and travel from point A to point B without technology tracking my every frickin' pace.
That's so, like, 1970.
Well, I am old.
It's crazy.
So, you know, my eventuality of becoming like the grumpy old man who shakes fists at clouds is slowly coming true. 603-283-6160. More about this, more of your calls, more Free Talk Live is still on the way. Don't go anywhere.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
USA USA News update. The White House rejects the special counsel's report, which details specific issues with Joe Biden's memory. At Friday's daily briefing, White House counsel spokesman Ian Sams says Robert Hur should not have said the president is an elderly man with a poor memory.
We just reject that this is true. And I think that it does raise questions about the gratuitousness, and it raises, you know, makes you wonder why that's in there.
In other news, folks across the United States busy shopping for Super Bowl snacks, stuff to put on the grill, chip and dip, and plenty of beverages. And while the game is in play, there's been plenty of prep to keep everyone inside the stadium in Las Vegas safe. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
Our priority is the safety and security of everyone in attendance, and that is what we are focused upon.
And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. You're currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Again, 603-283-6160. It's the final half hour of tonight's episode of Free Talk Live. We might still have time for you. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass, joining me.
Bakeless Mountaineer and...
Kahuna. And we've been talking about this excerpt from... Where is this from? Frontline.news.
Frontline doctors, yeah.
And since we're talking about facial recognition, I want people to know there are solutions to this. Like, there's special glasses that you can wear. There are ways of doing your makeup and your hair in ways that are asymmetrical and basically do a camouflage to your face so that the computers don't even recognize that it is a face.
Huh.
So there are definitely ways to circumvent this technology.
Yeah, the information... Well, it's out there. What was the show?
The truth is out there.
X-Files. Thank you, X-Files, yeah. I saw a series recently.
Which is why you should always trust the FBI in their investigations of the paranormal.
I saw a series recently with Gilligan Anderson. I'm sorry, Gillian Anderson. She spells it with a G, so I was pronouncing it wrong.
Oh, yeah, Gil. I mean, Jill.
Yeah. it wasn't a very good series. But we were talking about this facial recognition being deployed in airports, and we can continue talking about that, but let's go to the possibly most appropriately named caller that we could while we're talking about this happening in airports.
Screen caller?
No, he's totally screened. Oh. His name is Jet. You're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, how's it going? I was thinking as you were talking about this stuff that, well, let me say this first. I like to tune into these First Amendment auditors once in a while to get a little education on how they do things.
Oh, yeah.
But as I was writing down the notes, I thought, I think we're living in the movie Idiocracy on the one hand, because, I mean, we know that government is a psyop. You know, it's just what everybody is made to think that is right and wrong and this kind of thing. But here we are. And I also wanted to mention, did you know that Nevada had this primary this last week? Did you ever talk about that?
I did not.
Republican primary where Trump did not participate and Nikki Haley was beat out by none of the above.
Yeah. I did see that headline. I didn't have a chance to look into it. I thought it might be clickbait, but I saw it more than one time, and, like, that tickles me like nothing else.
Yeah, and it wasn't even close.
I know.
It wasn't even close.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Hey, I'm glad that we finally found a place that votes for who deserves the power.
None of the above.
Well, I think we should get rid of all these different parties like Democrats, Republicans, and just install the Idiocracy Party. But I'm watching the First Amendment auditor thing, and this guy really wasn't the First Amendment auditor. He was just a civilian or a person walking the street that knew the tricks. So he was stopped in the parking lot by these cops under some false impression that he was potentially inebriated, and they wanted to see his ID.
Okay.
And he said, I'm not showing the ID. Of course, they come up with the same old thing. Well, we need to see your ID because whenever we are called to a situation, we have to investigate. And in our investigation, we have to know who we're talking to. And he responds by saying, but I don't have to give you an ID unless I have been lawfully arrested for a crime. He said, what's the crime? And they said, failure to identify.
So, you're under arrest for resisting arrest, but you haven't arrested me yet. Well, stop resisting.
Exactly. And you don't realize how many police do this very same thing, whether it's trespassing or failure to identify. You can't trespass me from a public building. Well, yes, you can. Well, you can't because they haven't committed a crime. He said, what's the crime? Trespassing. I mean, are these people truly that lacking in intelligence?
Yes.
Or is it a trick?
No. So the enforcement is truly that lacking in intelligence. And as we covered earlier, you are not allowed to be a police officer if you have an IQ over a certain level.
Right.
Now, as far as the people who are commanding them, they are not stupid people. Those are evil people. And it's important to keep it straight.
Yeah, but it's just something I wanted to throw in there because I heard the discussion about the double speak, double think, rethink, circular logic, all this kind of stuff. It's like I was saying, we're living in the movie.
Yeah. It's that narrative structure, and just like all of these stories where you have the big bad that is actually, you know, a conniving, you know, intelligence, and then you have their enforcer, the dragon, as the TV tropes will tell you, who is not smart but very powerful. That is exactly how things work. The cop on the street is not smart, but they will shoot you and call an infinite number of people to shoot you if you resist. But the person telling them what to do is very smart.
Okay. I'll take your word for that. Because I wanted to do something similar to the First Amendment auditing thing here soon. I've been calling around to the police departments and asking them, you know, how do they respond to this? What are their rules? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And over in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, I got the best response. I mean, they were, I guess they've learned their lesson because the people said, yeah, we just, you know, just let people do what they're doing unless they're actually creating some kind of a big problem.
Nice.
So, yeah, which is odd because there was this one auditor, or if you can call him that, the what's it called? Whatever the press name is, he has. It's a very odd name from Long Island, New York. And he was here in Coeur d'Alene at one time and got totally harassed by the police and had to educate them and was almost arrested, that kind of thing, just from setting up his camera outside a liquor store, which is run by the state, much like there in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was quite the thing where they had to gather a half a dozen cops around. And at that point, they're all trying to talk to you. You don't know who's supposed to be in charge and all this stuff. But still, what I want to do with the videoing and that is I'm going to go around to various large churches. Okay. I'm going to set up my camera. And when people come to ask me what I'm doing, of course, initially I'll be evasive, but then I'll finally give in and say, well, I'm just filming those people who are uninterested in helping the homeless. Anyway.
Which is most people, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
See what kind of reaction I get out there. I've got to work up my dialogue after that. That's all I had for today. Sorry.
Hey, Jet, thank you so much for the call and for being a listener. We appreciate you. Call us back whenever you want to. 603-283-6160. This article...
And I feel obligated to point out that these are just people with no more rights than you or I.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's generally the his calling card.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you filling that in for him. I'm sure he does, too. This article goes on to talk about this TSA facial recognition. And even though everything we've talked about, like, okay, it's in like 30 select airports now, they're rolling it out to 400, which doesn't sound like select to me, sounds like all, right? Mm-hmm. But apparently the app exempts illegal aliens.
Mm-hmm. What?
That's the next thing it says. The app exempts illegal aliens. Some have taken to Twitter to point out that if the technology was truly for the security of passengers, there would be no exceptions, particularly not for those who break the law entering the U.S. and refuse to identify themselves. The NY Post publicized the TSA sign referred to in... There's a post here about a Twitter post. But it adds that almost 500,000 illegal aliens can use a government app allowing them to fly without any picture at all, and they can even refuse a request that they take a picture on the spot. And so here's an excerpt. If you're rushing to the airport and forget your photo ID, good luck being allowed on the plane, but many migrants without an acceptable form of identification, according to airport signs, don't need a photo. They get special treatment. Migrants who have entered the country using President Biden's new CBP, Customs and Border Protection, one app, at least 422,000 of them, can fly domestically without a photo ID.
Hmm.
So I'm thinking, all right, so I'm going to go to the airport and be like, I'm an illegal immigrant.
Well, do you have the illegal immigrant app?
Yeah. I mean, how hard can it be to download?
Yes, in fact,
that
I do.
Thing, right?
You've got to be a card-carrying illegal immigrant.
How hard can it be to download the app, right? I mean,
yeah, it can't be that hard.
I've downloaded apps, haven't you?
Is this the way through the line?
Yeah. A sign posted in Miami International Airport tells migrants, one, notify the TSA officer that you are a migrant. Two, the TSA officer will take a photo, optional, in parentheses. Three, if requested, provide your alien identification number or biographic information.
What?
Alien identification
number? What's an alien identification number?
I have no idea. I mean, my dystopian guess is that they're like, yeah, well, we've just decided to have all of the horrors of a social security number. Without, like, a social security number.
Taking a photo would allow the Transportation Security Administration officer to confirm the person boarding matches the person pictured in the CBP app. But the airport sign repeats, photo capture is voluntary. The migrant trying to board could be anybody. Emphasis added.
Mm.
They have a picture of it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, sure enough. Oh, and then number four, follow officer instructions. Now, I guess they are referring to them as officers, right? The TSA employees are TSOs. Yeah. Tyrannical safety officers.
Right, exactly.
Something like that.
Now, is it alien identification or alien registration?
Alien identification number or biographic information. Like,
here's
my biography. Frontline.news, you can find a link to either the sign or a post of the sign on the twit face. NewYorkPost.com has a screen cap of the sign. A non-U.S. citizen document validating CBP-1 technology. And so there it is. Doublespeak. All this raises the question of whether the government's description of its facial recognition technology as convenient and ensuring privacy is political doublespeak. I don't think there's any question. This article has thoroughly vetted whether or not there's any doubt in my mind that this is Huxwellian doublespeak.
Huxwellian.
That's right.
Just take your sum and go back to sleep, Captain.
I worked the dystopian portmanteau into the conversation today.
Brother is in control.
You can shorten that to the disto, the T-E-A-U, dystopian, portmanteau, disto.
Dystopian.
Helpful, okay, all this raises the question, blah, blah, blah. Helpful professor defines that term while also providing the background to its entry into the English language. So more from officials. The term doublespeak derives from two concepts in George Orwell's famous novel 1984. The term doublethink and newspeak. Ah, that's
yes,
right.
Yes.
Frequently occur in the novel, but doublespeak does not. Doublespeak is the language that deliberately distorts, disguises, obscures, hides, or reverses the meaning of words. It may also refer to intentional ambiguity or inversion of meanings. In the latter case, doublespeak is used to hide the truth or distort it. Here's how George Orwell describes political speech in 1984. Quote, in our time, political speech and writing are largely the defense of the indefensible. Thus, political language has to consist largely of euphemism, question begging, and sheer cloudy vagueness. The great enemy of clear language is insincerity. Where there is a gap between one's real and one's declared aims, one turns, as it were, instinctively to long words and exhausted idioms. William Lutz was the communications consultant who convinced President George Bush in 2002 to abandon the phrase global warming in favor of climate change. In a marketing ploy, Lutz described doublespeak in more detail.
Yeah, we don't want to get locked into something that's measurable when we're manipulating the population to have global governance.
What I was thinking about, so an example that I can think of in recent times, different topic, but...
The Patriot Act!
Well, that would be
the
one.
The least patriotic thing ever written.
Right, but the COVID vaccine, right? So vaccine, as we probably know, that they actually redefined what that term means.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks to COVID.
Yeah, it doesn't have the meaning that we've had for ages where, you know, in my mind, basically, if you put something in your body that's a vaccine, then either you're not going to get it or is an extremely low chance that you're going to get it.
Right.
So obviously the jab now is not that.
And generally the vaccine was made up of a little bit of the thing.
Right.
So that your body could build up the immunities to
right.
it.
Right. But they keep using the word.
Yeah.
Okay. And people keep getting something put in their body that doesn't do what a vaccine really does.
Right.
But they keep using that word.
The word literally means of the cow.
Of the cow.
Yeah, it's like another word for bovine.
Okay.
Like vaccine bovine.
Bovine, okay.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Same idea. So right. The reason was because where it started was if you cut cowpox, mm-hmm. you wouldn't catch smallpox.
Okay.
And that's where they first discovered this, so they started deliberately infecting people with cowpox
yeah.
because there was a smallpox epidemic.
Yeah.
So isn't
why didn't they just name it bigpox? I don't get it.
But yeah, no, they'd found that the milkmaids were completely immune to smallpox, yeah. and they couldn't figure out why for the longest time until yeah. they realized, oh, you guys caught cowpox, like every single one of you.
Yeah.
And then you got over it.
Okay.
Right. So they would deliberately infect people with cowpox so that yeah. they would be immune to smallpox.
Okay.
So two things. Number one, yes. Exactly what you're saying. What we used to do is yeah. we'd have like either something similar
yeah.
or a weakened version of the mm-hmm. thing
yeah.
so that your body could learn how to fight that thing
right.
and not be susceptible to
yeah.
it. And number two, isn't it something that they're telling you you need to get the cow-like?
Yes.
Get the cow thing.
I can't even tell you guys how much modern society, even in the U.S., resembles a farm. Right. You know, we are all cows. The milk that we give is, well, money that is taken from us via this thing called taxation.
Well, no. The taxation's the method by which they extract the milk. So that's more like the milking machine. What they're actually getting out of us
is life's effort.
Yes.
Yes.
Life's effort and human creative capacity.
Yeah. Yeah, which is more annoying.
Yeah.
Right? It's like it makes you go, wait, that's even worse,
yeah.
right? Like, oh, they're taxing you, they're taking some of your money. They're stealing from me? No, that's horrible. Well, actually,
it's
the taxation
worse.
Is just the mechanism that they use to steal from you.
Mm-hmm.
What they're actually taking for you is your life's energy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Whatever it is that makes humans human, whatever you want to call that, that's what they're taking from you. They're taking a little piece of what some would call your soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that printing money is the easiest way of taxing, and taxing is the easiest way of getting that special sauce so that they can profit from it and you don't.
Yeah, like overt slavery, where like somebody owned 100% of your life's effort, right? It was pretty cut and dry, mm-hmm. and you had no say. Now, what they've done, though, is they've turned everybody into sort of slavery light. They're like, well, what they discovered is the same thing they discovered with cows. With cows, if you keep them all tight in a barn, in their individual stalls, and milk them for all they're worth, eventually they stop giving milk, they become unhealthy, and the farmer's like, what's going on? These cows are still young. They should. And what they found out was that if they just put a fence around some acreage and give the cows the illusion of freedom for, you know, some period of time every day or whatever, that when they come back to the barn and it's time for milking again, they continue to give them milk.
Or better yet, just put a VR headset on them.
Does that work on cows?
Yes, it
really?
Actually does.
No way.
Yeah, you have to.
Because how can they move?
They don't.
They don't.
They don't. But there they are. It's still in the same tiny, cramped stall that had gotten them to stop producing milk. But because you have simulated the environment of being in an open, fenceless field, look, you're completely free.
I mean, I guess growing up in Wisconsin, I did see a number of cow fields where cows just sort of stood there.
Yeah.
They didn't, like, move around much.
Exactly.
Right?
Why would they need to? They just kind of, okay, stand here, chew my cud. Digest is basically their job.
Wow.
So there they are, stuck in this tiny little cell, but they believe that they're free.
It's getting, like, more and more Matrix-like every day.
Well, and the obvious thing is realize that you're in a cell. And realize what makes up that cell. Because we aren't kept by physical means. We're kept by social manipulations. And the reason they can extract our life's effort is because we keep using the thing that they can make at no cost.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if we start making things that they can't make at no cost and use that how we exchange,
yeah.
then we get free. We get out of the cell. And we get to actually reap the rewards of our life's effort.
Or at least be in control of our life's effort, right? Like, the premise of libertarianism, anarchism, voluntarism is just self-ownership. Do I own me? Yes, I do. Should I be in control of everything I say, think, and do? Yes, absolutely I should. Should anyone else be able to appoint a master over me? No. Should I be able to appoint a master over anyone else? No. That's, I mean, like, I can't really dumb it down anymore. I can't simplify it anymore.
Well, so here's what happens, man. I'll tell you, because I had this argument with Bonnie, that, like, guess what? If you command someone or buy someone killing someone, you're a murderer. If you hire a hitman, you're just as much a murderer as if you put the knife in yourself. And people believe that that's false. And they believe that you can dilute evil. And because this evil is diluted among 300 million people, it isn't evil anymore.
It's weird. That's my argument for voting. Or not voting, I guess. Right? Because the obfuscation of ascribing a master to somebody else, or even to yourself,
mm-hmm.
right, doesn't make it any less evil.
Right. And that's the trickery. That well, I'm only 1/300,000,000th of the genocidal maniac.
Yeah, you can't throw like a 7-layer dip in between the evil of like hiring a murderer, right, and your money changing right. hands to you know get them to do it for you.
Right. And if you believe that you can dilute responsibility that way, then it all makes total sense. Whereas if you realize the truth that the hitman and the one that hired him are now both guilty of that murder, that you don't reduce the power of evil by getting more people to do it.
Right.
Well, then you can start to see what's really going on.
And this is why I continually refer to like things like presidents dropping bombs, right? Because they are just as guilty mm-hmm. as the guy who pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
Well, they are the commander-in-chief, right?
Yeah.
By their own title.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Neither of you is the least bit less guilty. Not for, I didn't get my hands dirty, or, well, I was just following orders.
Right.
Well, you're both guilty, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't obscure right and wrong by inserting levels of bureaucracy or otherwise attempting to obscure responsibility for the actions. I agree. I can't think of a better way to sort of like simplify that for everyone who's listening.
Well, that's what the Matrix is. That's what's distracting us and giving us an illusory world and keeping us from realizing the truth of our own power. Because if we were actually profiting off of the technological innovations that we're making, we would be wealthy beyond our imagination, and they would run out of power.
We are out of time. Thank you, Peakless Mountaineer, for joining me. Good to see you again, Kahuna. Thank you for joining as well. Thank you to all of our listeners and our callers as well. We hope you had a good time. If you missed any part of tonight's broadcast, find the archives over at freetalklive.com. Thanks and peace.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.